and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose.
Alrighty, what's going on? It's Taz here. Moose is out this week. Andrew Bogish, AB, is sitting in for Mark Melusis. We're coming to you live right now from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thank you for listening to the show right now. Of course, one of our many affiliates across these great United States, or maybe listening on radio.com, on the app or the website, maybe Sirius XM Channel 206, which is the home for CBS Sports Radio on Sirius XM. So wherever you're listening, it's much appreciated. There's a plethora of locations that you can listen to the show.
Yes.
So you can't go wrong. That's every single day. Andrew, we've had a great show thus far, and we're not done yet. You realize that?
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure it's been great, and I'm sure we're not done.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We have another hour.
That intro with all the different places to listen and social media, it's long.
Plethora. A long list, and there's a long list of things to discuss in the show. We have a lot of fun here with a lot of callers throughout the show. We have the three coming up. That's a beautiful segment where we catch up on everything here every single day, and that's going to happen in a 3-2-1.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
NFL owners propose 18-game NFL season.
Yes, long conversation, my friend, that we had about this. A great conversation, a lot of fun, and a lot of people, you people out there, joined in on this conversation, calling the show about the, making the NFL seasons the regular season instead of being 16 games, being 18 games.
But
go ahead.
But you can only play 16 games.
Right.
You can within the 18 as a player.
The starters, right.
So, I mean, anybody.
Well, of course, but if you're a backup, center, and you're not a regular starter, and you've played zero games, and you're at week 7, and now it's your turn to play, and you play one game, and then the starter comes back the next week, and the week after that, and then the fourth week. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
the
just starters, every player has a 16-game cap. That's all.
Okay, that's a better way to say it. You're right. So, okay, yeah. Well, and, there's been a lot of different chatter, I said, in this show about this, and we both are on the same page, Andrew, where I don't think this is going to happen. You don't think it's going to happen, but it would be interesting if it did happen, because how would they do it? What are you going to do where you have your team, it's like, so if it's the Giants and Barkley's your starting running back, and then all of a sudden, week 10, it's like, well, you know what, he's not playing. So Wayne Gallman's going to play today, so he's not playing because he's got to take a week off.
Yeah, and normally there are things that have popped up here recently. And just last week when you were out, Moose and I with the guests were talking about putting the DH in the National League in baseball. And there's different things that come along with that, different kind of roster construction that might change who you sign, who you trade for. Other leagues have made, other changes to like almost the fabric of the sport, and it leads to then roster decisions and whatnot. And normally, those things intrigue me. This doesn't at all. Like, if you install this system and now you're asking teams to figure out how to tweak the way they build their roster and then how they use it, I don't want to see that. Not appealing to me at all. The ways of figuring out how you're going to sit your guys for their two required games, I don't want to live in that world. It's going to be an absolute nightmare. And I think we're going to play 18 games at some point. It's just not going to be through this particular system.
Yeah. And I'm thinking the NFL owners maybe want to do something like this. I don't think they'll ever admit it. The reason why they maybe are, this has been talked about for a while, it's because I think there's a slim chance or a kind of a chance that NFL owners feel that us as a fan base, as an audience, we want more football because we saw what happened with the AAF that came about, and that was full throttle. And next, it didn't even last a season. The XFL is on the cusp of starting here in 2020 after the NFL Super Bowl. So maybe NFL owners are like, field football, not arena football, not Canadian football. Here in America, people want more football, and who's the best football? Well, us, the NFL. We're the NFL owners. So let's give them more games to keep their appetite and their palates, happy. That's what it could be.
I know. One's a show. This conversation.
We were just talking about that before. Inside joke. Then.
This conversation might be as old as the original XFL. I mean, the NFL has been thinking about more games for a long time, whether it's been 18 regular season games, another playoff round. They're always looking for something. under the simple guise of, like, you guys want more football, so here you go, here's more football. But, I mean, it is about just two more ways to make to maximize
make
their revenue.
Their revenue stream.
That's
exactly it.
And it became this pseudo-way to solve the problem of preseason games unfairly costing the price of a regular season game, which is just complete nonsense. So it boils down to the fact that they just... not a nice thing, and that they're not being gracious and cordial.
Right.
They just want two other ways to take money out of your pocket, which is why I think they're going to push as hard as they can to get it. It just can't be the way this proposal puts it out there. This is not the solution to any problem.
And listen, and you're right what you're saying. I agree with you. And I'm not I'm not foolish enough or a mock enough to think that. The NFL owners like, you know what? The fan base really just wants more football. Let's give them more. No, I know it. The key is to make coin, make money for sure. But so what happens if you're, you know, whatever, you're a Panthers fan, and you know, it's like, you know, now it's like week 10. Well, you know what? We got to sit Luke. Let's sit Kukli. He's got to sit him, and let's start Jared Norris. Oh, wow, that'd be a problem. You know, I'm just saying, nothing against Jared, but, you know, still, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just the stars are sitting. And we said earlier, what happens? You go to games now, you're expecting to see your favorite player play in your hometown, whatever your hometown team is, whoever, you know, whatever your team happens to be. And then your guy's not playing. You know, so you love, you know, Stephon Diggs, and you're a Vikings fan, and you're a season ticket holder for the Vikings, and you're spending all this money to go to games with your family and stuff, and then you get there, and, oh, man, Diggs isn't playing today. Oh, wow, that sucks. Why, is he hurt? No, he's not hurt. He has to sit because they can't get him past 16 games for the regular season.
And I'm sure we've had this conversation before, you and I, but I've certainly said it on the air before today. Like, I'm normally a guy, too, that's defending giving players off.
Oh, yeah,
in other sports during it makes total sense to me if for an NBA player, you know, play 70, not 82, so you can be 100% in the postseason.
Well,
so
load management, I got no problem with that. They're playing so much,
but
you know?
This is different because it's league mandated,
right?
And football remains, you know, it's unique, like all the sports are, in their physical demands, but it's designed for you to play the entire season,
right?
It's not every day, not every other day, and you don't feel great every Sunday to Sunday, but it's a once a week operation. So the expectation is you're playing all 16. This is not, you know, a catcher resting on a Sunday, or even LeBron taking a random day off on a back to back.
Right.
It's not the same thing. So I don't think I'm being hypocritical in crushing this idea of resting guys for 2 weeks when I've defended other sports and other teams for taking guys off the floor.
No, I'm with you. And the thing is, football is designed for the guys to play once a week, and especially over the past bunch of years, with CTE, concussions, and whatnot, there's just much less hitting happening in practice. So guys are not as beat up. Guys are rested during the week and doing more walkthrough stuff as opposed to drills where they're hitting like it was back in the day in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You know, it's not like that anymore. You know, guys are not hitting as much. My point in bringing up is, off of your point, that you can have guys play once a week and for the most part be pretty healthy unless they sustained an injury in a game or practice.
Right.
Different story. You know, guys, high ankle sprain, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't force him to play. He can't play if he's not medically cleared to play. But, you know, it's just, I do think, and we had a caller call earlier. We had a bunch of people call, but a caller called, and I'm sorry, I can't recall his first name, but, you know, referencing soccer and how this has been going on for a while and how reserve players come in off the bench and guys come in and they rest players. Well, I think it's also different in a field sport like a soccer or a full court sport like like basketball or like a field sport like lacrosse, you know, where players are going up and down the field for the most part. And you're not getting much of a break throughout the game.
Right.
That's why you're bringing, and just like basketball, that's why you're bringing guys in off the bench. I mean, it's different in football because when you're on off, if you're an offense player and the defense is out there, you got a break.
Yeah, and I think, as you know, I'm a blossoming soccer fan.
And tennis.
I think the caller's name was Cam. And I think what he might have been referencing, too, is like the way the, you know, the schedule works out, the normal schedule, both domestically and internationally. Like, you know, there are times, let's say, where somebody's away with the national team and they're missing a regular game. Like, a guy that plays for the Red Bulls or an MLS team is on Team USA and they're gone for a couple of weeks. So, like, his MLS team is playing games without one of their best players. So it's kind of in line with the idea of the Patriots playing a game without Tom Brady. But again, like, it's just, this is not coming from down on top where the league is saying, okay, we have 50 EPL games,
right,
and your guys can only play 35.
Yeah.
It's the team's choice, and it's the players, and you know what you're getting into because you're getting a guy who's an elite talent that he might miss time and be away. But, like, you know what you're signing up for. Signing up for this is not something to me, NFL. I mean, even the Mark Murphy, who runs the Packers, have already said that he doesn't like this idea.
Right.
So, I mean, there's not even unison on that side of things. So, for the league to put a cap on how many times you can play and taking guys off the field just to hit a quota is never going to make sense to me.
And I agree. And like I said earlier, man, the starters will drive them bonkers. A guy like Tom Brady, you're telling him he can't play in a game? And that's going to drive a guy like him and a bunch of other guys crazy. A lot of these guys are paranoid to lose their spots, especially the older guys. And I don't blame them. You got to be paranoid.
Yep.
You got to worry about losing your spot. Because next thing you know, you sit a guy, you know, and it's like, you know, okay, fine. So no matter what position, it could be offensive line, defensive line, no matter what it is, you sit somebody, and then somebody else could start over them. You know, it can happen. I mean, so, you know, the Vikings, you sit cornerback Xavier Rhodes sits, and then Holton Hill plays. Okay, he comes in, he's a second string guy, and he happens to tear it up against a really good offense.
Yeah, or gets carved up.
Well, I'm saying on the positive side of it.
Right.
Now a guy like Xavier Rhodes could be in trouble of starting the following week because this other dude just beat him out.
Yeah.
You're giving a platform to guys to beat out your starters, you know? All right, here we go. Number two.
Number two.
Atlantic League player steals first base.
Yeah, this is a new experimental rule change in the Atlantic League. A little baseball action where he was able to steal first, make history. It was during a game between the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs and the Lancaster Bomb Store. So Tony Thomas, he was at bat, bottom of sixth inning, and basically the ball, the pitch, I should say, bounced behind the catcher towards the backstop, and he stole first base.
Yeah, so this is the second dumbest idea we saw this weekend after the NFL thing. We were discussing this last week here in the newsroom. I don't know where, and I'm not sure of the logic, because I never really thought of it, why now in baseball you can go to first base when you swing and miss at strike three and the catcher misses it. I don't know why you're allowed to run to first base in that situation. So I don't know why you'd be allowed to run a first base in this situation either.
Yeah, so it's a 1-0 count, one ball on a batter, no strikes, and this is hypothetics.
Yeah,
and then I'm pitching to you, Andrew, and I throw a ball, a wild pitch, goes past the catcher, and now it's a 1-0 count, and you could just run to first,
right.
Steal first.
Yeah,
this can't stick.
No, I mean, thankfully, it's very far away from baseball, and it's just them goofing around. But I just, this one, I don't get. And
I watched it. Did you watch? I saw the video of it.
I think I saw the video that great high quality sound came from that we played earlier in the show.
Yeah, well, I'm saying I watch it during one of the breaks. I'm always show prepping, you know, during the show, after the show.
As the 0-1 pitch is outside, Tony Thomas is going to try to steal first. There is no throw. He's aboard. And we've seen it. Somebody has stolen first base. It is a professional baseball first.
33-year-old Tony Thomas makes history.
33-year-old Tony Thomas.
Here comes Charlie Chaplin.
Listen, I don't know. It's, we'll see. This is not going to stick. I mean, he just can't.
That guy saw it, and somehow we were able to hear him see it because their connection somehow stayed together.
Imagine you're there, though, at the game, and you're watching the Blue Crabs, and next thing you know, this happened, and you're like, what the hell's going on? It's a 1-0 count.
Yeah.
Why is Tony running?
Well, that I think that happened, judging by the crowd reaction at Wimbledon yesterday. Marco mentioned in hour number one.
Marco?
Belletti.
Oh.
Belotti.
Belotti.
They changed their procedure at Wimbledon now, where they used to play the fifth set for forever. Remember, we had that one match that was like 73-71 with John Isner, and it went over like 5 days. And then last year, one semifinal went so long, the second one couldn't finish until the next day. So they changed it now where they play a tiebreaker in that final set after you get to 12 all. And I think there are people in the building yesterday when they got to 12 all, Federer and Djokovic, that didn't know what was coming next. When the chair umpire said tiebreaker, they were like, huh?
Right.
What?
Right, right.
Huh?
Right. Like, what?
And there were some boos and
certain
stuff.
Certain rules, and it's like things change.
So when Tony Thomas goes bolting to first base on a 1-0 slider in the dirt.
Yeah.
You know, huh?
Imagine sitting there with your kid.
What's
like,
crazy
your
old kid, Tony doing?
Your kid's a little leaguer, and you're like, and he's like, Daddy, why is he running the first? It's a 1-0 count. Well, Bobby, I don't friggin' know. Hand Daddy a beer, please.
Yeah,
all right, here we go.
Number 3.
Brock Lesnar wins Universal title after cash-in.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, after cash-in.
Cash like that in.
This is...
Money in the bank.
You start to get... Now you're like
now
feeling your machismo about wrestling. I love it. Like,
yeah, that's his gimmick.
Yeah, it's
here
his gimmick.
Comes the money.
Yeah, so Lesnar wins. He cashed in Money in the Bank. Seth Rollins was the Universal Champion, teaming up with Raw Women's Champ Becky Lynch against Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans in a winner-take-all match. Well, the tag team match was won by Seth and Becky. They retained their titles.
Yes,
then,
they did.
Then Brock Lesnar cashed
in. Downs.
And becomes the Universal Champ again.
Wow. Tables broke.
Yeah.
I think Becky's got a shoulder injury.
It's physical. Extreme Rules gets physical. They did this in Philly where Extreme in Wrestling was born with ECW. So back in the 90s, mid-90s, a place where I carved my niche in the business. So, you know, all in all, I thought this was a really good card. If you're a wrestling fan and you didn't watch Extreme Rules, I highly suggest it. They gave you a lot of matches. They gave you a ton of matches. This was like a four-hour show.
Like two bonus ones, right? They just popped up yesterday?
Exactly. I think the one of them was the Cruiserweight Championship with Tony Nese and Gulak. I think, to your point, I'm pretty sure that was added. Gulak as a champ. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But anyway.
I read the recap.
So.
What's a moonsault?
Pre-show Jones? What's that? What's a moonsault?
Yeah.
A moonsault is when someone stands on the ropes.
Okay.
Or they could stand on a mat. And they basically, so it's like if I have my back to you and you're laying on a mat or standing, I flip backwards and hit you with my body. That's a moonsault. Flipping in the air backwards.
Gotcha.
Like your bots, the guy's or girl's body hits you in the face or on while you're on the mat.
Lacey Evans did some sick move in that tag team match where she was on the middle turnbuckle facing one direction. She jumped up to the top one while turning and then did like a flip onto Becky Lynch, which was really rude, but
very
it was
difficult
pretty impressive.
To do, though. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
When you twist in the air, when you're going from one rope to another rope, it takes obviously a lot of balance, a lot of athleticism.
All things I don't have.
Right. No, you would have fall flat on your ass.
I wouldn't have gotten to the second turnbuckle in the first place.
You wouldn't have gotten a locker room. But anyway, so there you go.
That's unnecessary.
And by the way, if you didn't hear it, you can go back and listen to the podcast of this show.
Hour two, baby.
At radio.com or Apple Podcasts. And I did my Here Comes the Pain. Perfect timing with Brock Lesnar's music. Maybe we do it going to the break.
I
can do it again as we're going to break?
Third greatest moment
Watch
of Pete's
this.
Life.
I'll nail it a second time. Watch, we're going to play. We'll get out of this music. We'll play Brock Lesnar's music. Old school wrestler. Here we go. Well, here comes the pain. Oh, man, I got goosebumps. Look at Pete the body. He's actually got tears coming out of his eyes.
The right leg is now twitching.
He was filming it this time. He gave him a heads up.
Wheel him out of here.
Did I nail it a second time?
You did. That was better than the first one.
Wow.
Maybe Vince is listening. Maybe Heyman's like, wow, we got to bring back the human suplex machine. He's doing that radio gig, though. He wears flip-flops to work. We got a BCS when we come back. Taz with AP here. Yeah, we good.
What?
I'm going at the break.
Come on.
Screwed up everything, man. Just see that? It's your first time doing radio, Pete?
No.
All right, we'll be right back.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Major League Baseball legend Mo Vaughn, and you're listening to Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, my man, Mo Vaughn. Hey, the great Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao, boxing's only 8-division world champion, returns to face the hard-hitting, undefeated Keith One-Time Thurman for the World Welterweight Championship this Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. So, yeah, we have a very busy show here. A lot going on, a lot happening. We have our latest sports update coming here momentarily from Marco Belletti. I said it right. I keep thinking your last name has an O in it.
No O. Belletti. Yeah, no, you did it right.
Okay, don't get upset.
All right, take it away.
Relax. Okay, go
for it. Just read the news.
This report is sponsored by Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor, clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today. All right, we had some breaking this morning. Franchise tag deadline today in the NFL, 4 o'clock Eastern. 49ers and kicker Robbie Gould able to beat that deadline. They, they reportedly come to terms, a two-year deal, $10.5 million, could be up to 4 years and $19 million.
I'll tell you, being a kicker, man. If you had to be, if you had your choice to pick a pro athlete, like what type of, I obviously done this, I've achieved my goals.
Right.
But like for you other people, like how, what would you, like Marco, what would you, if you had your pick, what sport, what team?
Catcher, Yankees.
Oh God, what a, just a homer.
What can I tell you? That was the only thing I wanted to do. Obviously I lacked talent and ability and I never got there.
Okay.
You had a little Mike Pagliarulo in you.
No, I wish.
So you, Thurman Munson fan back in the day?
He, a little bit before my time. But
you
yeah.
know, legend.
Yeah, no, No, yeah. I mean, that was always what I wanted to do. And
all right.
Again,
catch the Yankees.
Not good.
You want to be Matt Noakes?
About John
Mark
Stearns.
Mark Salas?
John Stearns.
I could give you a lot of those bad
Stearns
catchers.
From the Mets. John Stearns from the Mets. He was was the man, though.
There was a lot of bad ones when I was a kid. Yeah,
all right. Hold on. Just
are you done?
I'm in control.
I thought I was.
Relax. You're not in control. I am in control. Calm down. Calm down. I want to ask my co-host here. I'd like to ask my co-host what he would like to do as far as if he was a pro athlete, his druthers, where would he like to be? What position? Talk to me.
I mean, in a perfect world, Mets third baseman. But practically speaking, like Tom Brady's backup, I'd never have to play.
Wow.
And I would have had a good college career.
Yeah, I don't think we were looking for like the easy way out of just money. I mean, because that's the case. I would love to just sit on my couch and make millions and do nothing too, but...
I'm not looking for actual reach a goal.
I'm curious. So you're saying third base on the Mets, okay?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, if I had, I won't pick a position, but if I had to pick a professional athlete career as opposed to what I did as a wrestler, believe it or not, I would pick a pro baseball player. I would want to be a pro baseball player. I don't care what position. I don't care if I'm starting for the San Diego Padres. To me, because I've been out there enough, it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place to play. It's just a beautiful environment, and I just would like to make millions of dollars playing for the Padres, just riding pine. Mm. I'd be happy. Now, a career I'd like, I would have loved back in the day, this is going to shock you, more than anything, even more than doing what I did as a wrestler, this is going to sound crazy. I would have loved to have been a Division II or Division III, like defensive line coach. Mm. Yeah.
Making $17,000 a year?
Well, I also would have a podcast attached.
Oh, right. That wouldn't change.
That goes without saying. Get that on radio.com or Apple Podcast.
I was waiting. Yeah. I thought we were going back to Wimbledon in the whites, seeing Taz in the whites.
No, that's not going to happen. Mike, your career of choice? What would you?
I'd like to be a point guard for like the Grizzlies or Trailblazers and be a pass-first point guard.
Shocking basketball. And Pete Bellotti, I'm sure you want to be the next Hulk Hogan.
Taz, thanks. Back to you.
I definitely would want to be a backup third baseman for the Rockies because I knew... I knew I would not play because of Nolan Arenado. And if I did play, I'd be hitting home runs in Coors Field.
Everyone does.
I got to tell you, some of you guys, your lofty dreams, they suck.
Mine's the worst. I want to be a D-line coach for Towson. You know,
great school.
Nothing against the school. Like, I want to be like the wide receivers coach for like Cortland.
Cortland. Minnesota Whitewater.
I'm a little depressed. These dreams are awful.
I want to make money to be nothing. Come on.
It really is. No, to me, it's just, I mean, I played D2 football, and my coaches were like, man, these guys have the greatest jobs. They don't have to run. So to me, like, I'm sitting there, like, sweating and dying in the heat, and, like, these guys don't have to run. Like, these guys have the best jobs. Like, Marco, please, come on, finish.
All right, take it away.
All right, so there's two other plays still on the tag today. We'll see if they get a deal done. That's Texans D-end Jadeveon Clowney, the Falcons D-tackle Grady Jarrett. We talked about Wimbledon, Novak Djokovic. If you missed it, he beat Roger Federer. The match lasted about 16 days. There was a lot of baseball. Indians were able to avoid the sweep of the Twins.
Swung on, ripped to deep right field. It is gone. Oh, he went to the off-speed and hung it.
I'm nervous.
And Carlos Santana has put the Indians back on top 4-3.
Big swing, Carlos Santana. Indians up in the Twins 4-3. That's, of course, Tom Hamilton, the call. Indians Radio Network.
Hold on a second. You say, okay. Of course, Tom Hamilton. Pete, you hear this? Pete.
I mean.
Pete. What do you mean, of course.
Tom Hamilton. Come
on. Of course, Tom Hamilton. Like, what is he all of a sudden? He's over? Like, what is... Of course, Tom Hamilton. That's something Andrew would do. Andrew, you do the same thing in updates. Like, yeah. you reference these play-by-play guys like... Like
you should know
stars.
Who Tom Hamilton is.
Yeah, if I lived locally, what game was that? Cleveland. Where was it? Yeah.
Cleveland. Okay. He's been doing it forever, and he's kind of got a distinctive voice and call.
I understand. I obviously know who he is, but I'm just saying, like, why do we have to put some of these people on pedestals? I want to be on a pedestal.
You
are. I'm good at my job. I want to hear Tom Hamilton talking about me.
I'm sure Tom Hamilton knows who you are.
If I had that ability to do that, I would.
Well, why doesn't Mark Chernoff tell him? Mark Chernoff's dialed into the Indians.
He is. Why don't you go ask Mark?
I will. You are a Mark. Please continue with this update. That's lasting forever.
All right. Rays lost a combined perfect game bid. It would have been the first time ever. They lost it in the ninth. Hanser Alberto with a little opposite field single. Beat the shift. Rays still beat the Orioles 4-1.
Beat the what?
Shift.
Hurt Pete. You're scaring Pete.
That's not hard to hurt Pete. I mean, geez. All right. True. Mikel Franco, walk-off. Phillies cooled off the Nationals 4-3. Still Justin Verlander's 11th win. Astros beat the Rangers 12-4. And one more for you, Bogus.
Oh, good, yeah.
Adam Wainwright, 7 scoreless. Cardinals dump the D-backs 5-2.
All right. That's great.
Thanks, Marco.
Gentlemen, we'll see you tomorrow.
We appreciate it.
Hello, friends.
There you go. All right, we have a BCS here we talked about. I think I've been plugging it. That's like the thread of the show has been this BCS. Do we have time to do it in this segment, Mike?
We are.
All right, 3-2-1.
Regardless.
We're doing it.
It's now time to bench, cut, or start with Taz and the Moose.
Bench, cut, start.
All right, Mike, so we got this about beer. What are we doing here?
Yeah, this is about beer in the summertime. So the bench, cut, start here is summertime beer locations. And your three spots are having a baseball beer, a beach/pool beer.
Or post a Belletti update beer. No?
That sounds nice. Or out on the golf course beer.
Okay.
Which one do you bench, cut, and start?
All right, Andrew, you go first.
Oh, thanks, Taz. It's very nice of you to let me go first as the guest on the show today.
Well, you're a guest co-host.
We're both ready to go.
Hold on. So, Mike, I don't like the way you laid that out. You went a little too quick for the audience.
I will slow it down.
Slow it down for the audience, not for us. We got it.
So, bench, cut, or start. Summertime beer. Which one are you benching? Which one are you cutting? Which one are you starting?
Your options are the
baseball game beer in the summer. You also have, if you're at the pool, at the beach in the summer, sipping on your beer. Or out on the golf course.
So, beach, golf, pool. Oh, no, I missed that. Game.
Baseball game, hanging out by some body of water, and playing golf.
Golf.
This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to start.
Okay, thank God.
I'm going to bench a baseball beer. It's a tough decision. It really, really is. Mm. But somebody's got to get benched, and unfortunately, it's a baseball beer.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to cut.
Any reason?
I'm going to get there, sweetheart. I'm going to cut a golf beer. Because that's an angry beer. I don't want to be angry drinking a beer to calm my nerves from being terrible at golf. Which means I'm starting the body of water beer because there's nothing better than sitting by a pool, sitting by a beach, toes in the sands, got some SPF on, there's some music playing.
Well,
pounding a beer or two or seven, that's the life.
Tell you what, I sat in the pool. You know, this
by yourself because you wouldn't invite any of us there.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And I smoked a nice Maduro cigar, and then I smoked a blonde cigar.
Okay.
What's a cigar? All right.
What was the last consonant on that one?
A blonde cigar is like a light base cigar.
Right.
Like a light,
yeah.
Light. You know that. Lightly
filled
wrapped.
With tobacco. Yeah.
Smoked the blonde.
Right.
So anyway. Okay, that went well.
Yeah.
So I had a little cigar by the pool. All right, so you're gonna repeat what you just said.
Okay. I'm going to bench the baseball beer. I'm going to cut the golf beer, start the pool beer.
All right. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bench the pool beer. I'm going to cut the golf beer. I'm going to start the game beer. So I'm going to cut I'm going to bench the pool beer or the beach beer.
Yeah.
Because when I'm by the water, the last thing I want to be is drunk. And the problem with me, I can't just have one beer. I got to drink like two, three, six packs. Just pound them, right? So that means there's a good chance I'm going to be S-faced when I go in the water. And I don't want to do that because next thing you know, I could be belly up floating there and there's a problem. So I don't want to be anywhere near the water, okay, when I'm going to be that bombed, okay? I'm going to cut the golf beer because it's too friggin' hot. And my point in that is, you know the deal. When you're out there golfing, you're in a wide open field, and it's so hot. The worst thing to do is just suck down alcohol while it's burning hot. I know there's a lot of guys, and maybe some girls out there that do that. You know, I got to tell you, that's just, I can't do that. Stand in the middle of an open field just pounding beers while the heat is pounding on my white visor.
That was my
that
job.
That says ping on it.
That was my job at high school. I drove the drink cart at a golf course in Queens, yeah.
Yeah. Do a little side work. Maybe you go back, do a little bit, take some videos, good content for the Instagram.
You know what? I could do that as a side job, like you said, and then I could start a podcast.
Why not?
About the tales from the course. While I'm driving the golf cart.
There's people starting podcasts for all sorts of silly ass reasons.
Oh, what a great idea.
Next thing you know, iTunes picks you up.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, I'll tell you this, Andrew. You know, iTunes will pick you up even if you just have a pulse. So don't worry. You'll be fine.
There was even a process. I just thought they did it. Like, here you go.
Next question.
All right, so anyway.
What are they checking on, possibly?
A pulse. So the thing
is. Move it along.
I'm going to start the baseball game beer. I think it's fun to go to a game. Sit maybe a little shaded area. You know, sit there watching the game. Maybe get a little drunk. Start a fist fight. Have security attempt to remove me. And then I whoop the ass of the security guard.
With a kendo stick.
Yeah. Not kembo. Kendo. Nope. Right. Yeah. So to me, that's fun. So I'm going to start the pool. I'm sorry. I'm going to bench the pool / water beer. I'm going to cut the golf beer. I'm going to start the game baseball beer. And what do you got, Mike?
Explain this to me again. Okay.
This guy's a podcast host.
So for me, I am benching any beer by the water. I am cutting a beer at a baseball game, and I am starting a beer while on the links.
Wow.
Playing golf.
Look at this guy.
And I'll get to just the starting portion of it because that's unique to this set. When I play golf, I am so nervous and so worried about hitting people and scared.
You're nervous here.
So I need a couple of drinks in my system when I play golf to relax me, loosen up. Ooh. So I feel that it's appropriate in my circumstance when I'm out on the golf course, having a couple of drinks isn't a bad thing because I know when I don't, it's a disaster. Benching water, it's nice, but it's not like the golf. And then cutting baseball, because when you're at a baseball game in this scenario, it's about watching the people perform. It's about being focused and locked in, not relaxation.
Wow. And talk about in depth. This is what you're going to get. You listen to baseball and food. What's it called?
Close enough.
Basketball drives.
Yeah, that sounds close.
Close enough.
Baseball and food.
Baseball stories.
Coming soon.
You laugh now.
He's like, when I'm up to 25 downloads, you guys will see.
Total.
That's right.
Cume.
Anyway, Pete the Bobby.
I agree with Bogus. I'm going the same way Bogus went.
Thank
baseball,
you, Pete.
Benching, I'm cutting golf, and I'm starting the beach pool body of water. First of all,
all your drinks are by water.
Yeah, they basically are. I'm benching the baseball because it's too expensive to get a beer at a game.
Good call.
I'm cutting golf because I don't play golf. I'm starting.
Wait, hold on a second. So I'm not. I mean, I'm not.
It's not an option.
He's cutting golf because he don't play golf.
Yeah.
Andrew, are you shocked that Pete the Body doesn't play golf?
Not even a little bit. Yeah, it makes total sense that Pete doesn't play golf. Pete does not have the temperament for golf. He would kill somebody on a golf course.
All right. Yeah, he would. Well, I think I might do worse than that on a golf course. Because I played golf, and I'm actually very good. I've talked about my mini golf abilities.
Yeah, right. Similar, same
whenever,
thing.
When I go to Cape Cod, I dominate. There's a plethora of, Lean Mean listens to the show. My friend Lean Mean, who does a lot of video work for my show and stuff, and sometimes for Moose and I. And I am a king of all the mini golf courses throughout Cape Cod in Massachusetts.
Right, no windmill can hold you down.
No. I actually drew a crowd at one of the big holes. It was a big deal, and I sunk a hole in one. It was a big deal.
Have you seen Steph Curry's TV show?
No.
It's called Holy Moly. It's on, I think, ABC one night a week during the summer, and it's an extreme version of mini golf.
When's this on?
It's on one weeknight this summer on ABC, maybe Wednesday nights.
Mm.
It's called Holy Moly, and they do like insane, exaggerated mini golf holes.
Really?
And the crazy thing is the people that are involved in it are not, civilians like you. There's like a mini golf tour. Right. Like you can be almost pseudo-professional mini-golf player.
Oh, hold on a second. I think Pete's mad because he didn't get to finish. Right? Is that the problem,
There's
Mike?
There's a lot going on right now.
I'm good.
No. Mike, Pete, we're having a conversation. Finish your diatribe.
No, I said it arrived. That's it. I'll drink by any body of water. That's okay. My...
I'll drink anything anywhere. I'm ready to drink by water.
Especially now.
Is there a problem? Are we okay here?
We're good.
Haven't been better.
Seems like there's something going on behind the glass.
I'm over here. Like, no one's looking at me. The three of them are discussing something that I can't hear. So I'm like, let me tell a new story. I'll make up a Steph Curry mini golf show.
No, I would love to see the Steph Curry mini golf. Holy moly.
Yeah.
I would love to be part of it. I don't know why I wasn't called to be on this thing. All right, on that note, we're going to break. Other side of break, we will go into the undercard. The biggest stories of today's show that we did not get a chance to talk about. That'll be next here on Taz and the Moose.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning.
This is Major League Baseball legend Mo Vaughn, and you're listening to Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, it's time to answer our Ask the Pros question brought to you by, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Sammy in Miami. What did you make of Rangers' Jesse Chavez offering the home plate umpire his glasses? Don't forget you could submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So, yeah, it's pretty funny. If you don't know much about this, Andrew and I were talking about this during the break. Andrew Bogus over here. Rangers' Jesse Chavez, right? So he offers the home plate ump, Rob Drake, his glasses after blowing strikes.
Yeah, Friday night.
Texas won the game, by the way, so it all worked out for Chavez's team, obviously. But it's pretty funny. What did I make of it? I mean, I don't know about you, man, but to me, I think it's hysterical. I mean...
Right. That's all. I mean, it's funny. And that's the end of the conversation.
It really is. It's hilarious.
It's fairly great. Creative. He's walking off, and he's not looking at Rob Drake, who's the umpire. He crosses the first baseline.
You pulled it up, the video,
and he
right?
just puts his glasses out like, if you want these, come get them. And then keeps walking the dugout.
The first time I was cracking up. By the way, CBS Sports Radio toll-free line 855-212-4227 is brought to you by Geico. Great news as a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, so this is part of the show here, Haas, where we do the undercard, okay? You ready for this?
Oh, right now? Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
why not?
These are basically stories from today's show. We did not talk about yet today. 3, 2, 1, go.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
What did you make of the Woody Harrelson experience from Wimbledon?
Okay, Andrew, yes. I know you had some good commentary on this.
This is my favorite thing. So if you guys didn't, you people didn't see this.
You people.
The esteemed Woody Harrelson was at Wimbledon. Full suit. You got to be fancy when you go there as a fancy person. The first video I saw was him getting denied re-entry to his seat because play was going on. So this very stern, husky security guard stopped him as he's going up the stairs back into like the celebrity box. And the
husky. I'm stuck on the word husky.
Yeah, big bones.
I mean, but because usually for grown-ass men, you know, huskies maybe for a kid that's a little thick.
The 8 husky.
Right.
So this burly...
Right, burly.
Intimidating security guard stops him. And like the heartbreak in Woody Harrelson as he has to stay in the stairwell and not go to his seat is great. Then he proceeds to drink his drink with this really strange like lip extension. And then he keeps his lips out there. But then the second video is him sitting in his seat.
Yeah.
And he unleashes this huge like full mouth, full 360 like lick of his lips that I feel like you would do when you were like on acid. Right? That's what I thought. Was all like, what color is he hearing right now?
I think he might have been a little bit... I mean, what's he drinking?
I think he was having fun. That's the way he should be. Woody Harrelson should never not be altered.
I mean, Woody Harrelson, I mean, how old is he? He's got to be in his 40s, right?
He's got to be over 50. He might be 60.
55, 56, something like that, I would bet.
57.
57. He looks good, though.
Yeah.
He looks like Woody Harrelson.
And he's
like
a great actor.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he is. I mean, of course, to me, he's always going to be from what's this show, Cheers.
Yeah.
That's how I was thinking of him. But he's done a lot of other stuff since Cheers. But
he's always going to be... That guy from that show, that's always going to be my number one for Woody
Cheers.
Harrelson.
Cheers.
Cheers.
That's
Norm.
Yeah.
Norm!
Oh! All right, there we go. Next one.
This is the Moose.
And I am Taz. We look up.
Sticking to Wimbledon, Novak Djokovic, after his marathon win, decided to eat some of the grass on the court.
Yeah, well,
would you pull the same move?
Well, would I pull the same move? You know what? I don't know if I would do that. I think maybe I understand the grass thing, you know, because it's like symbolic of the court and like that whole legacy and all. I mean, I'd put some in my pocket. Maybe I'd have like a little sandwich bag with a little plastic bag.
Teddy grass.
Yeah.
I feel like that's unnecessary. I'll win and celebrate. And you can do whatever you want when you win, basically, but eating grass would not be on
my list. I've actually eaten grass.
Real grass.
Yes, when I was in high school.
On purpose?
During a football game, in between a play, I had an argument with a guy on the other team, and it was like an intimidation thing. I didn't swallow the grass. I chewed the grass, and then I went to spit it at him, and it spit all over my face mask, which basically rejected back into my own face. It was the stupidest thing I've ever did when I was, you know, when you're 17 years old, you're an idiot.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So anyway, as opposed to now where I'm not an idiot. All right, next.
Duke head coach, Coach K, had some interesting thoughts on Zion Williamson playing in the summer league. He said, quote, "No, I thought he really never should have played because he's been on the circuit of awards. He was a little bit out of playing shape or the mental shape to play."
Okay.
Concerning?
Yes, it is concerning. You know why? He's a freaking kid. He's 19 years old, whatever he is, 20 years old. And he played basketball at Duke. He's the top player coming out of college going to the Pelicans. He's on the Pelicans. And now, like, we got to worry about him being in shape. He's a kid. And he looked in shape. I mean, I understand what Coach K saying, mental shape, because he's been on the circuit. Well, then he shouldn't be a top guy. If he can't handle it and multitask and train and eat properly and work on his hydration and work on his physical fitness prowess while he's on the media circuit, Andrew.
I'm more concerned with the Pelicans letting him play.
Pelicans.
It makes a little sense that he wasn't in perfect, tip-top, elite shape because of it. And because he didn't have to prove anything since the season ended. He wasn't even fighting for the number one pick. So I'm not surprised he's not where he actually needs to be. I'm more surprised the Pelicans let him play.
Well, because they want to flaunt out there, you know, their new shiny superstar.
In the summer league?
Oh, that,
in
yeah.
Vegas? Come on.
Dude, the Pelicans, they didn't have much to brag about.
He should be, and nothing he could have done there would have given them bragging rights. They should have locked them up until training camp.
See that guy right there on the right? What's his name? From the Jets.
Mike Tannenbaum.
I just was in an elevator with him. I was actually in Los Angeles last week.
Okay.
And we were in the elevator together. That's a true story.
Congrats.
I just looked at him. I'm like, wow, I remember who he was from the Jets. Yeah. Tannenbaum Jones. All right, next.
They have a lovely roast duck.
And
this is like finally. It took you 19 months to bring some entertainment.
Yeah, I apologize.
Yeah.
Wow.
And finally, Giannis Antetokounmpo says he doesn't want to be called MVP anymore.
Dude, I heard the audio on this, dude. I got to tell you, he's got an ego. He said he just wants to be MVP for now.
Yeah.
And then when he wins it again next year, he'll be MVP again.
That's smart.
Just don't call me MVP now.
Yeah. He's also letting the Bucks know to get their you know what together to make sure they want to sign him.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I appreciate everybody here. Andrew, great job, my man. Mike, Pete, awesome as always. Marco, Bellotti, awesome stuff. All the callers, we love everybody in this world. We'll be back tomorrow. Adios.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.